can read together verses 50 through to verse 56, Numbers chapter 33, and verse 50 through verse 56. Starting in verse 50, as we read together, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Again, Lord, we praise you that we're able to come together and sing of thy glory and grace and goodness to us. Lord, I pray that your word tonight would once again, Lord, prove to be food and drink for our souls. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the situation, we know well enough that Israel was out of Egypt and God had promised to take them into the land of Canaan, or the promised land, and that was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, and there would be great blessing, great prosperity, and just wonderful, wonderful opportunities to serve the Lord and to live for him. And God set out some things here for them. Just reiterating what he'd already told them. He said in verse 52, "Then ye shall, once you go into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. You shall divide the land by lot for inheritance among your families, and to the more you shall give the more inheritance, to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit." So there is to be some things that they were to do, and along with that would come a portion in the land, and along with that would come great blessing for the nation of Israel. I want us just to see what happened, and then we'll come back to this passage. In Judges chapter 1, we'll come back to Numbers in a moment, but in Judges chapter 1, let's read now a little bit of the history of what took place when they did go into the land. We'll skip down to verse 21 in Judges chapter 1. The Bible says there, "And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day." Now jump down to verse 27. "Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Naalal, But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acco, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Arlab, nor of Aksib, nor of Helbah, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath became tributaries under them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon and Shaalbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And from the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward. Question, did they do what God asked them to do? Answer, no. Did God respond to that situation? Yes, verse 1 of chapter 2. An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you under the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? God fronts them up at Gilgal. That was one of the starting places, Gilgal, where Joshua and the people had gone out from into the land to endeavour to conquer the land. Indeed, they had taken the whole land that God had given to them, but they hadn't been obedient in dealing with those who were in the land. And so God now meets with them again at Gilgal, the Bible says there, of the children of Israel. And he points out to them, ye have not obeyed my voice, why have you done this? He said, now the problem's going to be this. I'm not going to drive them out. I'm not going to do it. And they will be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. God says, I told you what to do. You didn't do it. Now you have to suffer the consequences of that. Now the people's response seemed quite good. In a sense, they lift up their voice and wept, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Now the word Bochim, by the way, means weepers. So they called the place Weepers. They meet there and they say, oh, Lord, oh, dear, yes, you're right. We didn't do what you wanted us to do. Oh, Lord, forgive us and we'll sacrifice to you, and then we'll just go on living the way we always lived. That seems to be pretty much what happened. And we know as we look through the scriptures that tears, we mentioned this on Wednesday night when it came to Saul. Remember the times when Saul wept. When David confronted Saul from the mouth of the cave and said, Saul, guess what? Waving a bit of his garment. I could have killed you, but I didn't. And Saul wept. He said, oh, you're more righteous than me, David. Oh, oh. And then continued to try and hunt David and kill him if he could have. And Esau wept bitterly when he missed out on the inheritance and the blessing. And we find that through the scriptures that oftentimes there will be those who will weep, and yet there's no follow through, there's no going on now and doing what God would have them to do. So I want us to come back to Numbers 33, just make some observations about this. The Lord speaks to Moses and tells them what he wants done. He said, when you're passed over, this is what I want you to do. Now I want to ask some questions about this. Verse 52, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. Now, is that hard to understand? Would that be difficult for them to understand? God says, I want you just to deal with all the idolatry that is in the land. I want you to take all their pictures, all their molten images, and I want you to drive the inhabitants, all of them, out of the land. Destroy all their idolatry, all their idol worship, everything associated with it, the pictures, the images, everything. I want it all to go, and I want them all out of the land. Now, that would be simple to understand. We'd all agree with that. So what went wrong? What happened? Didn't they understand? What happened in that whole situation? Not only that, he says, you shall divide the land by lot for inheritance, and there'll be a blessing that'll come. Now, I want to make this observation, first of all, that God's will is quite simple. God, when we want to know God's will, when we want to know what he wants us to do, he makes it quite simple, I believe. We tend to complicate it if we're not careful, but God's will is not all that difficult to know, not that difficult to find out, not that difficult to understand. This is an example of it. God said, here, to make it easy, I want to get rid of all inhabitants, I want you to get rid of all their pictures, all their images, and all their high places, in other words, the places where they would hold their worship to their false gods. I want all that gone. That's easy to understand. Simple. You say, why was God so concerned to get rid of, why didn't they just come into the land and just live at peace with the people there? What would be wrong with that? I mean, surely that would be reasonable. I mean, we just move into the promised land and we can live with them and everything will be fine and nothing, you know, they'll appreciate it. We'll just warn them if they get out of line. We'll have to deal with them, whatever. And let's just rationalize the whole thing and let's just accept it and let's just get on with things. But that's not what God said. Now, why not? Well, the problem comes along as we read through the scriptures, because God says if you don't, what will happen is you'll be drawn into their idolatry. You'll be drawn into their sensual way of living. You'll be drawn to live like them. Now, they could have argued, well, we would, no way. We'll go in there and we'll live for God, and we will stand up for God, and there's no way they'll affect us. God says, that's not what's going to happen. If you don't do what I tell you, they're going to become a snare for you. And they'll become a problem for you. Well, let's have a look at a couple of these principles in the New Testament, then we'll come back to Numbers. In Romans chapter 13, here's one of the thoughts, I believe, that God is trying to get across to the nation of Israel. The people in the land are wicked, idolatrous people. False gods, false idols, images, the whole bit. They've got it all. And God says now, in a judicial manner, in a righteous way, I want to bring judgment upon the land, and you're going to be the arm of my justice and judgment, nation of Israel. In Romans chapter 13, so what's wrong with just staying in the land? Well, in verse 13 of Romans 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's the principle. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God said, I want all the idols, all the images, all the groves destroyed, and I want all the people out of the land. Why? Because they're going to be, if you're not careful, they will become a provision for the flesh. It'll be so much easier to use their form of worship. Right? God says, remember in the commandments, no images, no graven images, nothing like that. But it's so much easier. We all find it this way. It's so, when we can see something, when we can touch something, it's a whole lot easier than faith, where we can't see God, we can't have pictures of him, and we can't do that, and yet God says you're to worship me in spirit and in truth. And God said to the nation of Israel, they will become a snare to you. It'll be making a provision for your flesh if you allow that to continue in the land with all their other wickedness and what have you that they're doing there in the land. So that's the first principle. Make not provision for the flesh, the same. And that's why God says to us to be wholehearted in our Christian war, not to allow little bits of sin. Now, the devil says a little bit's okay, but God says, no, don't do that. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't allow things in your life that could cause you to turn away or move away from the Lord and our walk with him. Don't make provision for the flesh. Get rid of all the images. Get rid of all the pictures. Get rid of all those groves. Get rid of all the people out of your life that could cause you to stumble. So make not provision for the flesh. And then you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And here's the second principle I want to raise for us tonight about this, as to why God said, get rid of all of it. All their molten images, all their pictures, all their high places. Get rid of all of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 6, the Bible says this, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? God says, don't you understand that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What's the thought? What's the principle? You leave some of those idolaters in the land. You leave some of those idols in the land. You leave some of those images in the land. You leave some of those high places where they worship in the land. And what will happen is that leaven will begin to infiltrate into your worship and in your living for me, and ultimately it will infect you and affect you. Little leaven leavens a whole lump. You know, it's the old story. And I've noticed we've just been picking some peaches. And yesterday I was looking in the container we had some of these peaches in. And I noticed toward the bottom there was a peach there that had started to rot. And about maybe a quarter of it, perhaps a third of it, was rotten. The interesting thing I noticed was the peaches touching that one were also starting to rot. The good ones didn't cause the rot to stop in the rotten one. It was the other way around. The rot in the rotten peach was causing the good peaches to begin to rot. You say, how'd you deal with it? I took out the rotten one and took it out of the road. And then I put the ones that were getting a little bit of rot on the top so that they weren't touching other peaches. Now, ultimately, I can't get rid of that rot other than cut it off and eat it. And that's not a bad idea. But there's the principle, in as it were, in action. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. God says, you allow a little bit. And the problem here at Corinth was this man in the church who was living in public sin. And the church hadn't been dealing with it. And God said, look, here's the problem. If you don't deal with this fellow, before long there'll be more immorality in the church and there'll be more sin in the church, and so it'll go. Now, the church at Corinth were thinking, well, that's okay. We know this fellow's in public sin, but that's not, you know, that's his business. That's between him and God. That's not going to affect any of us. God says, wrong. It will. It will affect you. What? No, you're not. The little leaven leavens the whole lump. Before long, we begin to condone it. Before long, we say, well, you know, he's not a bad fellow. And we just kind of need to understand that. And let's not be too unloving. And let's not be too hard on him. I mean, we know that it's a sin that not even the Gentiles would name among themselves, but we'll show our spirituality by being nice to him and kind to him and whatever. And Paul says, no, no, you need to deal with that. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So God says to the children of Israel, here's what I want you to do. It's very, very simple, he said. I want you to get the people out of the land, and I want you to destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pull down their high places. Now, he didn't even say this. All right, get all their pictures and put them in a cupboard somewhere. And, you know, just keep them out of the road. He didn't say that. He said destroy them. You know, when we got saved, we had a bar at home. So what are you going to do with all that now? Well, I've shared with you before what we did with it. I said, okay, what are we going to do with this? We could give it to other people, all these bottles of alcohol, and we wouldn't drink it, so that would be good for us. Or what are we going to do with it? Well, it seemed to me that we needed to deal with this thing and not just put it in a cupboard and close the door on it. So, well, it's in the cupboard now and we don't have to worry about it because it's out of sight, out of mind. Well, that kind of attitude, no. I said, there's only one way we're going to have to deal with this thing. And so we got all the bottles and we took them into the kitchen and one by one took the tops off and poured them down the sink. Glug, glug, glug. Glug, glug, glug. Glug, glug, glug. Down it all went. You say, what are you doing? We're not making provision for the flesh. We're getting rid of, we're destroying all that could cause us to stumble. It's making a very definitive statement about it. We are finished with this. All of it is going. All of it. We didn't keep one bottle, so we'll just keep one up there to remind us of the good old days. Oh, there's nothing good old days about drinking alcohol, let me tell you. And I'm just kind of in the process of putting together some material for a person who seems to think that it's not a bad idea. You know, well, it's okay to have a social drink. And I'm shocked that anybody who calls himself a Christian or associated with Christianity would say that a little bit's okay. I believe it's the principle of make provision for the flesh. I mean, I believe it's the principle of abstaining from all appearance from evil. I believe the Bible says don't be among wine bibbers. I believe the Bible says not God to look good to look upon it. And I can go on and on. I believe it's not good. But you see, there are those who would say, well, I think just a little bit's okay. What are they doing? They're making provision for the flesh. What are they doing? They're allowing a little leaven. Just a little leaven. Which will eventually leaven the whole lump. You say they'll all become alcoholics? No, I didn't say that. I'm talking about the principle here that it will become a stumbling block to them or to someone else. God said, here's very clear. Get rid of all the images, all the pictures, all the high places. Get rid of all of it. Now, when we get saved, God begins to work progressively in our lives. And that's what happened here in the nation of Israel. He didn't say on day one in the land, I want you to go all throughout all the land today. Well, they couldn't have done it physically for starters, could they? Couldn't have done it. But he said, here's the plan. Slowly but surely, you're to get rid of all of those things. Now, when we get saved, God begins that work in our lives. Slowly but surely, he says, now, that has to go. The alcohol needs to go down the sink. The rock music, that needs to go in the rubbish bin. Whatever, and you just kind of go down the line, little bit by little bit, destroying all that could be a stumbling block, all that could be provision for the flesh, all of them. You say, well, you finish up with not much. Probably that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. You get rid of all the images and all the pictures and all the idolatry and all the high places. You don't have to decide whether I wonder whether that one would be okay or not. You don't have to worry about that. It's gone. It's destroyed. I was reading this article today. I kind of tickled me. I'm going to photocopy it and give it to this person about alcohol. Harry Rimmer was a preacher and a doctor. And this person came to him and he said about drinking. And he said, I think it's all right for a Christian to drink. And he made reference to Timothy should have a little wine for his stomach's sake. And he said, tell me, he said to this fellow, he said, can I ask you a question? He said, do you think that, what would you prefer? A wine? Is that your favourite drink? He said, oh, no, he said, I prefer drinking gin. He said, okay. He said, what's your name? He said, my name's Bill. He said, all right, Bill. He said, how's your health? He said, good. He said, okay. He said, let me point something out. He said, Paul wrote to Timothy, not Bill. And he said, Timothy, you've got a stomach problem and you haven't got a stomach problem. And he did say wine, not gin. So I'd suggest you keep off it. And then he talked about some other things about wine and spoke about the water of the day and various things like that. But I thought it was, just well done. But what was that person doing? Making provision for the flesh. I can't understand it, And you talk to people. I don't know why I'm getting on this, but I just kind of got to get off my chest, I suppose. I've been reading about it and looking at it. And we just need one or two just to calm us down, to make us feel relaxed. Where is that in the Bible? The Bible speaks about the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds. Why do I need a glass to calm me down or make me feel relaxed? We go on and on. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Great peace of they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Why do I need something to help me with that process? Isn't God well able to be faithful and true to his word? Why do I need this other little additional thing? Okay, so I got rid of that. I feel better now. But God's will is simple. God says all of it is to be destroyed. All the images, all the idols, all the high places, and all the people out of the land. Just get rid of it. Then they cannot be a stumbling block, can they? If they're not there, if there's no idols there, they can't cause you to stumble. If there's no pictures there, they can't cause you to stumble. If there's no high places there, they can't cause you to stumble. They can't do it. Now, you may go outside the land and import some in. That's another story. But as far as the land goes, as far as my Christian walk goes, if I get rid of all those things, they can't be a stumbling block to me. And they can't be a stumbling block to someone else. And so there's the principles there, and there's maybe, and obviously there's other things, but those in particular make not provision for the flesh. Get rid of all of them. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Get rid of all of them. Progressively. And so again, when we get saved, and that's what God does, progressively, he says, now this needs to go. All of that needs to go. All of this needs to go. And that's what I found, all. When God starts dealing with this, he says, all of that. And we might start out with a little bit and say, well, I think, I'll just get rid of some of that. But God says the principle is just get rid of all of it. Don't make provision for the flesh so that you go back to that. Get rid of it. Don't leave any leaven there. He said, God says, if you do that, and it's simple enough to understand, he says, here's what's going to happen. You shall divide the land by lot for inheritance among your families, and to the more you shall give them the more inheritance, to the few you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your father, ye shall inherit. He said, it'll be a blessing. You'll all have place in the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's a wealthy, prosperous land, and everything will be good. Verse 55 says, but if you will not, if you won't do that, if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. All right, God says, here's what's going to happen. If you don't get rid of all of them and all their idolatry, you don't get rid of all of that, then those that remain will become pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land. God says, news not good. You keep some? Well, just a little bit. I think a little bit's all right, Pastor. No, God says all of it's got to go. Because if it all doesn't go, then what's going to happen? Those bits that are left will turn around and they will bite you. They will be pricks in your eyes. They will be thorns in your side. They will vex you. When we make provision for the flesh, what happens? It begins to vex us. What was it said of Lot when he was down there in Sodom? He made provision for the flesh. He went down there in the gates of Sodom eventually. And those things became pricks in his eyes and thorns in his sides. And the Bible says that that righteous man Lot vexed his soul daily because of the wickedness and idolatry there. Vexed him daily. Yet he stayed there. You say, why did he stay there? Stupid. If not, God says, there'll come chastening. Now think about ourselves. Just quickly some verses to look at to make application. Say, what about ourselves? I just want to get this principle of all. In other words, the simplicity of what God says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There'll be those who say, oh, I think God's will is a bit hard to know and a bit hard to find out. Well, sometimes a little difficult to know exactly some areas, no question about that. But they're more areas of ministry, not about the Christian life itself. It's like the It's quite simple. It's like the gospel. The gospel is very simple. Very, very simple. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple as that. Very, very simple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Just keep rejoicing. Pray without ceasing. I mean, don't stop praying. Simple enough. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything. Not just in most things. In everything. See, simple. In everything give thanks. Oh, but. Yeah, but what? Is that simple or not? In everything give thanks. Well, it's not easy to do. He didn't say it was. He just said do it. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophecies. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. So test all things and hold on to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. How much evil should we, or how much appearance of evil should we abstain from? All appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. All. All. Don't know what more to say, but all. That's, you know, that's what God says. Simple. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Not just evil, but the appearance of evil. You know, people who go into hotels and walk out of hotels, they have an appearance of evil. You say, I never drink there, I only drink water. Well, someone outside doesn't know that. Why do people go to hotels? To drink. That's why they go there, and they have meals there, and that's true, that's true. But there is the appearance, I believe. You say, well, I don't agree. Fine, you don't agree, that's okay. I'm just telling you. All appearance of evil. Abstain from it. Now, Ephesians, let's go back. I'm just trying to emphasize here the alls, the simplicity of the alls, that we don't have to try and work how much and is this enough or not enough. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, he starts out there by saying, if so be that ye have heard of him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. So, right, no lying, only speak truth. Only speak truth. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Notice, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. No more stealing. No more, not even a little bit, no more, stop. But rather let him labour, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, verse 29, let little bits of corrupt communication only proceed out of your mouth. No, that's not what it says. It says let no corrupt communication, no corrupt communication. See, that makes it easy to understand, doesn't it? It makes it simple. Let no corrupt, not just only, well, it's only a little bit. No, God doesn't say anything about little bits. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What comes out my mouth? Well, don't let anything corrupt come out. No corrupt communication. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, all of it, and wrath, and all anger, and all clamour, and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. God says, put all those things out. Destroy all those. All those. They're going to go. And be kind one to another. Instead of that, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right, so there's the principle. There's the thought. All these things are to go. God says, well, I want to make it easy for you. I want to make it so you can understand what I want you to do. And so I'm going to make it in a way that's very easy to work out. Let all bitterness go. Let no corrupt communication come out. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In everything give thanks. And on and on and on. So even a child who hasn't even done a lot of schooling can work out those truths. Correct? I want you to get rid of all the idols. How many does all mean? If I asked Phoebe how many all means, I think she would know it means all. All means all. All the idols, all the images, all the pictures. How many pictures should we leave, Phoebe, if God says get rid of all of them, how many should we leave? God says, I want you to get rid of all of them. How many should you leave behind? None. See? It's easy, isn't it? Simple. Very good. Very good. Just get rid of all of them. Don't leave any. If we get rid of all the high places, how many do we leave behind? None. That's it. See? Simple. Now, if Phoebe can understand it, and I know she is very, very intelligent, above the norm. Very similar to her mother. Somewhat like her father. But if Phoebe can understand that, then you and I ought to be able to understand that as well. When it comes to these kind of truths in the scriptures. You see, God puts them to us because what? We are his children. And so he puts them to us in a way that as children we can understand all. Get rid of all the people out of the land. Get rid of all their idols and images. Get rid of all the pictures. Get rid of all the high places. Just get rid of it all. And he says, by the way, if you don't, then that leaven you leave behind, that provision for the flesh, will come back to whip you. And you will have pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side. And you will be vexed because of those things that you left there. Did they obey? No. They didn't. You say, why not? Well, let me ask the question. Why don't you and I always obey every time? Now, when you work that one out, you let me know. And I'll preach a whole message on it. But we're no different to them, are we, in a sense? But we need to learn from them. Paul says, these things were there for our learning and for our admonition. That's what they did. We need to think about it. Why did they do that? Or why did they not do that? It certainly didn't bring blessing, certainly didn't bring anything in their life that was going to be worthwhile. Why did they not do that? And so we need to, by the grace of God, learn from these things and then apply those things to our own lives. And so when God says to us, whatever it is, let's say, you know, here's the alcohol, put it down the sink, then put all of it down the sink, not just most of it. Put all of it down. That way there's no leaven, that way there's no provision for the flesh. And that way we won't, as Paul said in Ephesians, grieve the Holy Spirit. And therefore we'll enjoy his fullness and his blessing in our lives and his grace and his fruit that will come into our lives as we do those things. And may the Lord help us to do that. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, truly these things are very simple. And Lord, we'd all have to say, though, that sometimes, for whatever reason, Lord, because of the flesh or pride or whatever, they're not always, it doesn't seem that easy necessarily to follow through on them. And we're thankful for these things you've recorded for us, Lord, for our learning, for our admonition. And Lord, help us, Lord, not to make provision for the flesh, Lord, not to allow leaven to sit around our lives, for you know, Lord, that leaven will eventually leaven the whole lump. Thankful, Lord, that even children can understand these things. Lord, help us as the children of God, Lord, to live in a way, in a manner that would allow you, Lord, to bless us and, Lord, richly reward us in many ways which you have for us, even exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And, Lord, in so doing, we might glorify you and we might magnify you in our lives that others might see Christ in us. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.